May I have permission to just continue reading in the first canto where I left off? So, we're reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text number 1. The chapter is entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali. I'll read the Sanskrit just once through, and then the verse and purport.
Suta uvacha tatrago Mithunam Raja Anmayamanam Anatavat Dandahastum Tavchavrishalam Dadrishenipa Lanchanam.
Excuse me. Suta Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower caste sudra dressed like a king was beating a cow and a bull with a club as if they had no owner. The principal sign of the age of Kali is that lower caste shudras, that is, men without political culture and spiritual initiation, will dress like administrators or kings. And the principal business of such non-Kshatriya rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially cows and bulls, who shall be unprotected by their masters, the bona fide Vaishyas of the mercantile community. In Bhagavad Gita 18:44, it is said that the Vaishyas are meant to deal in agriculture, cow protection, and trade. In the age of Kali, the degraded Vaishyas, the mercantile men, are engaged in supplying cows to slaughterhouses. The Kshatriyas are meant to protect the citizens of the state, whereas the Vaishyas are meant to protect cows and bulls and utilize them to produce grains and milk. The cow is meant to deliver milk, and the bull is meant to produce grains. But in the age of Kali, the Shudra class of men are in the posts of administrators, and the cows and bulls are the mothers and fathers, unprotected by the Vaishyas, are subjected to the slaughterhouses organized by the Shudra administrators. Pretty bleak. From the perspective of Vedic culture particularly. When a saintly person comes to know of such bad things, it's very hard to bear. Shyamasundara Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple Shyamasundara, who was Prabhupada's secretary for some time, described one time that he was with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, And Shyamasundara was describing that Prabhupada was a magician. And not a magician in the sense like he would extend his hand and produce gold, not that kind of magic. Prabhupada even said, I've done no magic. I've not manifested gold. He also said, nor have I paid these American boys and girls, nor do I have money to pay them, but they're simply engaged in service to Krishna because they're attraction to Krishna. I have done no magic, I simply presented Krishna. But Shyamasundara liked, he explained why he used that word magician. Magician because a magician is someone who does something very surprising, like pulled a rabbit out of a hat, or saw somebody in half and they're not, they're still one person. Does surprising things. So Prabhupada was that kind of person to Shyamasundara. And then he narrated some stories to describe his experience of Prabhupada the magician. Prabhupada liked to go to new and different places. One time they were in Los Angeles, and it was a jolly mood. Prabhupada was asking, where should I go next? And so they were saying different things. Oh, you have an invitation to go to London. Oh, you have an invitation to go to this place, that place. And Prabhupada was And then someone said, Prabhupada, they invited you to go to Mexico. There's a big festival, a spiritual festival, and they want you to be one of their guest speakers. And Prabhupada took interest. Mexico, I've never been to Mexico. And they described the event, and Prabhupada put his hand on the desk and said, let us go at once. This will be very auspicious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be very pleased. And so, right away, he began making arrangements. And Los Angeles is not far from the Mexico border. They didn't drive, they flew to Mexico City. And he described three things about this visit to Mexico City. One of them that's immediately relevant to this topic is when they brought Srila Prabhupada to his room where he was to stay before going to the program, he sat in the room, the door was open, and Prabhupada was just sat down on the edge of the bed, motionless, looking, gazing. And Shyamasundara noticed that, but wasn't customary for Prabhupada, was very active and would do something. He just sat there. So he went to take care of some service, and he heard his voice being called, Shyamasundara, come here. And Prabhupada was crying. And he said, look at this. There's a large figure of Christ being crucified on the cross like this. He said, take that down. He said, this is so horrible that they worship their Savior by seeing him in this way. But even to see one's spiritual master in this way, to think of him in this way, is ghastly. Unthinkable. But it was very hurtful for Prabhupada to see that. Second thing he described was they didn't know when they accepted the invitation, but the place where the event was to take, was to occur, was in a bull fighting arena. Bullfights. That's not a sport that you have here in Guyana, but it's a sport they have in Spain and in Mexico. And there's a huge, the sport is to hold the red flag, red cloth in front of the bull, and the bull comes charging the red flag, and the person that's holding the flag, he moves the cape, the red cape to the side. The bull comes back and charges again and charges again. And it's life threatening that the bull is after the red flag, not the person, but sometimes the bull goes after the person, not the red flag. He's got his big horns and he's finished. It's, you know, it's a fight to the death. And so, what they're supposed to do is, as the bull passes, they place a sword in his back. So then he's got this painful, you're like aggravating the bull because he's got a painful sword in his back, and then more swords and more swords and more swords until he dies with a sword. And then when it's all over, they take the big animal, the big body of the big animal to its own place, and then they finish the bull. So, when they got to the place, the devotee, disciples of Prabhupada, personally, went to the place where the actual speaking in this whole arena was to take place. It was, first they didn't know it was a bull fighting arena, then they found out that where the platform, the podium, was standing, was on that very place where he killed the animal. And that's where they wanted Prabhupada to stand. I forget how he ended that section of the scripture. I think they asked Prabhupada what to do. You come all this way and this is where they want you to stand, and they killed the bull. And the decision was made, I forget the detail, but the decision was made that they would make the place clean, covered with cloth, and Prabhupada, they came the distance, Prabhupada would speak. As they were leaving, there was like five or six of Prabhupada's, you know, Ramananda and Shamasunda and Gargamuni and all these strong, big body young American men surrounding Srila Prabhupada, who was by stature very short. And they saw in a distance on this festival day one drunken Mexican with his big sombrero on and staggering around like, you know, couldn't possibly walk a straight line, he was so drunk. And Shamsundar said it occurred to him that something, man's drunk, who knows what he might do, he was thinking they should get in the way, be in place and position just in case the man did something revolting. But they didn't. And sure enough, when Prabhupada was in about 20 feet from the person, he raised his head and, like the bull, started charging right at Prabhupada. And it happened so quickly, they didn't react fast enough. And here's this man charging right at Srila Prabhupada. So what Prabhupada did was he had his cane, and he picked up his cane and bumped the man soundly right in the head with his cane, and then moved his shoulders like this, like this, getting myself situated here. Hare Krishna. Just went walking on like it didn't even happen. And then collapsed on the table. And the Prabhupada was always still Hare Krishna. When making garland, it's not a good idea to use these little red things because they're very sharp. Cutting. So, back to the Bhagavatam verse. When a saintly person sees suffering, it's painful. Especially when there's innocent persons deliberately suffering. I was recounting with Tridandi the event of the temple opening in Crane, my first visit to Guyana. And I remember distinctly what the president, is that fellow still alive?
Yeah.
What the president's message was. Basically, there's two things: education of our children and protection of our women, and a culture, a society, a country cannot be successful without both. Or either of these are neglected, he didn't say animal protection, because. That's part of the economy. It's considered to be part of an important part of the economy here. And I don't know if he was saying that because that was his conviction, or that's like one of his speeches that he would make when he had religious programs, because that was to say when they're religious programs. I just sense that was his conviction. But politicians, you can never tell. But it sounded like something that, you know, straight out of the first generation of Bhagavatam, because this chapter goes into, and the previous chapter also, the subject of the protection of five things, because that's civilized society, where you give protection to rabbinical culture and cows and brahmanas and women and children. These are not just protected because they're weak, but they're protected because they're valuable. You protect that which is valuable. Brahmanas, of the five, the two most important of the five that are repeated over and over is Brahminical culture and the cows. The positive thing is to say, when one does engage in cow protection, say individually or collectively, one sees to the protection of cows, it promotes the quality of goodness. The opposite is, it promotes the quality of exploitation, not only of cows, but the quality of exploitation. If mother can be violated, what is there that's sacred that cannot be violated in terms of Mother Earth and the resources of Mother Earth and other living beings? We were discussing this, that Mother Earth was saying in the previous chapter how the source of her unhappiness was that Dharma, the bull, was being neglected and also abused. So, the Brahmanas are to protect or not to protect, to establish the principle of the Dharma. And the Kshatriyas are to, they're the enforcers to uphold the principles of Dharma. Of course, those principles of Dharma apply not just to standards of worship of the deity on the altar and so on. Dharma more applies to our, or the broader sense applies to all features of life. How we do each of the things that we do. How we raise our families. How we eat. How we engage in our occupational work. How we live as civilized human beings. The rituals, they're also important, but that's not the sum total of what is Dharma. When Dharma is upheld, the bull is protected, then people prosper. One of the principles, if a community, particularly we'll say a community of devotees, but even non-devotees are now establishing models of self-sufficient agriculture. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's a rising trend. It's something that both the economic dynamic that's going on in the world today, the complete uncertainty about means of sustenance, you know, having jobs and being able to provide for your family, that's very unstable. And the way in which agriculture is being conducted in a highly commercial way, it just rubs the sensibilities of people. And the growing statistics of food shortage in general in the world for a variety of reasons. One of the main reasons is Mother Earth is restricting. But another reason is use, so much increased use of land for industry, so much increase of deserts, non-arable land due to climatic factors and the soil erosion factors that come from so many geological and other types of factors that are rising the population. So the increase of population and the not parallel increase of food production is making for an overall food shortage. Although it's hard in one sense to consider because there's so much land on the surface of the earth. But that land on the surface of the earth is not producing enough. And some people hoarding it, their unfair portion, so many things like that. As a result of those multiple factors, for ethical and practical reasons, sustainable agricultural communities are becoming, they're on the rise. Now, one of the considerations to make agricultural sustainable and the ethics that go with sustainable agriculture is the use of bulls. I'm just, I've heard this so many times from our cow protection minister, Balabhadra, that what's essential for the cows, for the bulls, if you want cow protection, you need to also have bull protection. The bull protection from the time that they're born to the time that they die, they're useless, except they just eat. You have to feed them, you have to give them medical care, they don't do anything, they just exist unless you engage them in agriculture, tilling the land. But it's too much trouble to engage in both power when you have tractors. When you have mechanization, you don't need the bull anymore. So, he's useless. So, what happens with the bull? To make it economically feasible, it needs one thing leads to the next thing. With mechanization, you don't need the bull anymore. With advanced technology, you have refrigeration. Put those two things together in animal slaughter, because once the animal is killed, it decays, but you can take care of it if you refrigerate the body of the animal and sell it later. So, protection of the bull, as well as protection of the principle of Dharma, goes very well together with Brahminical culture and under the direction of the Brahmana, seeing and having the Vaishya do his proper duty. The Vaishya won't understand his proper duty if the Brahmana doesn't understand what the proper duty is. Or the head of state doesn't understand what the proper duty is. It would have been fantastic if the president had said, you have to promote cow protection. He's not going to say that. It's too much against an industry of the country. But he twice warned Chakra certainly would say that. Certainly would say that. As Lal Maharaj Pritchard said, he was immediately charging to the place where that protection of the bull and protection of the cow was being violated. But instead, not only the protection is missing, as Prabhupada is saying here, state authorized slaughterhouses are established. State authorized. Now it's regulated so that there's the rationale is this, so that we have proper standards of health and hygiene and protection of the human beings once the animal is slaughtered. You know, it has to be a healthy animal, it has to be done in healthy conditions. So they have state inspectors. Have like they stamp the meat to say, you know, this is inspected, this passes our standards. But authorizing, if the state is going to authorize, and the state is implicating all the taxpayers, even the ones that are not meat eaters, in the act. So maybe devotees shouldn't pay their taxes. Then you're in jail. Well, this is an advocacy to not pay your taxes. But tax money is being used for such things. We're implicated when the government is not proper. So it's important for us not just to promote vegetarianism, but God consciousness. Because people may become vegetarian for health reasons, or even for economic and ecological reasons. I'll just comment on this. I didn't see it. Somebody mentioned that the Swami Narayan group was created a video about the importance of vegetarianism in terms of environmental issues, because environmental issues have caught the public's attention. And there's plenty of environmental reasons, like how much rain it takes to make enough meat to feed a person, as opposed to how much that grain could feed a person. If there was production of grain instead of feed for the cattle. And then the greenhouse effect, some kind of statistic that says if you had one person become vegetarian, the benefit that will have on the reducing the greenhouse effect, that is the depletion of the ozone layer in the atmosphere, would be greater than 100 people purchasing whatever they call those cars that mainly run on electricity and don't use so much gas and so, because gas-driven, petrol-driven machines send off emissions that deplete the ozone layer. Hybrid cars, that's what they call them. You know what hybrid cars are there? Don't have those here. Hybrid cars are, they, except for starting the car and accelerating the car, it runs just on electricity. They have a big storage of electricity, battery storage. So we are, I'm just because of the time, I'll keep to you the time so you can keep the meetings on time. The promotion of cow protection and its intersection with promotion of vegetarianism. We don't just promote vegetarianism, we promote Christian consciousness. But it's a natural byproduct. It's compatible with the message of Christian consciousness, but it's not the message of Christian consciousness. It certainly helps people to practice Christian consciousness if they, in the course of their beginning to practice Christian consciousness, they become, of course, as kind of vegetarian. But the principle that, the spiritual principle or religious principle that we're promoting is, that's what's being mentioned here, protection. Protection. Because people don't like to be exploited, but exploitation, the mood of exploitation is naturally a product of exploiting nature and in turn exploiting animals and exploiting other people. It's just part of the absence of spiritual culture, religious culture. The very unwholesome, unhealthy, unpleasant, bitter, nasty medium of how people deal with each other is a natural product of this neglect of Dharma, or violation of Dharma. All the nasty things people don't like. So just as the living entities, material creation is made up of two things, matter and spirit. And the spirit portion is the living entities, and it's also for creating. And the matter portion is also Krishna's energy. They're both Krishna's energy. And what is Krishna, the source of his energy, interested in? He's interested in the proper utilization of both, and thus respect and protection of both. And so administrators are to give protection to earth and to the living entities, and particularly these classifications, five classifications. Those that are, yes, they're less of a self-protection capacity, a child, an old person, a woman, a cow, and a brahmana, But at the same time, these five are very, very valuable components in human society. Each particularly important in a particular way, and because of their, I mentioned this before, because they're particularly valuable, we protect them. That's the sense of Vedic culture, protection. Not just that someone is weak, so you have to use your strong arms to protect them, but because they're valuable, and so you ensure that that which is valuable is safe and properly cared for. And when that's the culture of society, when that can be instructed, then we have peace and prosperity within the world. And the absence of that, as you have violence or exploitation, produces more violence and exploitation. The culture becomes miserable, terrible, uncivilized. So we'll be hearing some more about this tomorrow morning. And the protection of the cows and the brahmanas and the women and children and the elderly. And the deity greetings at 7 o'clock.